This morning comes from Psalms once again, Psalm number 20, verses 1 through 9. May the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. May the name of the God of Jacob defend you. May He send you help from the sanctuary and strengthen you out of Zion. May He remember all your offerings and accept your burnt sacrifice. May He grant you according to your heart's desire and fulfill all your purpose. We will rejoice in your salvation, and in the name of our God we will set up our banners. May the Lord fulfill all your petitions. Now I know that the Lord saves His anointed. He will answer him from His holy heaven with the saving strength of His right hand. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. They have bowed down and fallen, but we have risen and stand upright. Save, Lord. May the King answer us when we call. Father, as we come today, we do lay down at your feet, Father, because without you, nothing means anything. And Father, now as we come before you, may you give us all that we need in this hour. May all that is spoken be yours, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. A day of trouble. Anybody ever had a day of trouble? I see people smiling, some giggles. Yeah, it's kind of a common thing. We can all think about that. We may be having one today. But as I was thinking about this, read over the scripture, I was trying to think, you know, what was a day of trouble that I sure wouldn't want to go back. I mean, I can think of a number of them, but one that's kind of my own making and everything. I was in high school. Now, this is not anything that this is not to say that I'm proud of this, but it's just what happened. And it was definitely a day of trouble. So if any of you guys, you young folks, you do anything like this, it'll definitely be a day of trouble at your house, I'm sure. But y'all find it hard to believe, I know, but when I was a teenager, I was kind of smart mouth. I know that's hard to understand. You can't imagine me being that way, but I did. I had kind of a smart mouth. A little sarcastic and, you know, those kind of things. Well, one day at school, my principal was talking to me and telling me to do something or not to do something, instructing me on something. And I was a smart mouth with him. Well, it ended up resulting in that he gave me a little vacation from school for a few days. And there was a lot of other things that went on, but that's a short story there. So I realized what a mess I had made as soon as the words came out of my mouth. But those words, you know how they are, like toothpaste. Once you squeeze them out, you can't get them back in. And you just have to deal with it. And I did. Well, back in those days, in the ancient days, it was when students were still bus drivers. Y'all remember that? When students were driving buses? Well, I drove a bus. And that was about my sole means of paying for anything back in those days. And it was something that was kind of required of me by my daddy. So I had to go home and see, when you got a vacation from school, they didn't let you drive a bus on that vacation there. You know, So I go driving home on my bus that day. I get to do my route, but there's a substitute bus driver with me. And as soon as I pull into my house and I get out, he pulls off with my bus. I go in the house, and needless to say, I have to explain to my mama where my bus is going. She didn't say much. She says, "Well, your daddy will be home in a little while." And so, needless to say, when my daddy came home, he doesn't see my bus there that's normally there. And what's the first thing he asked me when he gets in and sees my bright, shining, happy face? "Where's your bus?" So I have to tell the story again of what happened. Well, I didn't lose any teeth, or there was no bloodshed or anything like that. But you better believe those next few days were days of trouble. We've all had those kind of days, whether they were of our own making or whether it's just the way life had caught up with us, the things that somebody else had done to us. We've all experienced days of trouble. For some of us right now, we're in those days of trouble. Right now, we feel that pinch, that pull, that tug, that deep inner anxiety that's going on. It may be because of the grief that we have experienced in a loss of someone dear to us, or the grief we've experienced in the loss of a job or anything that would be close and dear to us. It may be because of health concerns, of our own health concerns or those around us. It may be a real day of trouble for you. It could be because of relationships. We all have difficulty, have had difficulty at some point in time in relationships, whether it's husbands and wives, parents and children, friends, neighbors, relationships, they can bring about some days of trouble. Finances. Oh gosh, I mean, in this day and time, who couldn't stand to have a little better day with the way our financial situation is in the world today? Then there's work. You know, some days it just doesn't pay to even get up and go to work, does it? Some days you wish you had just stayed on that vacation just a little while longer. Sometimes at work we can find days of trouble. The King David, who wrote the psalm that I read to you earlier, he wrote, played, sang a great deal about trouble, because David was one who knew great trouble in his life. Almost from the very moment that Samuel poured the horn of oil over his head and anointed him king, even before he ascended to the throne, but anointed him king while Saul was still on the throne, from that moment on, David knew trouble. And he knew trouble as he faced the Philistines. He knew trouble as he found disfavor with Saul and was persecuted Saul tried to kill him on several occasions. And he knew trouble when he fell away from the Lord and tried to do things his own way, and the troubles in his family. He knew them all, folks, just like we do. He had all the troubles come to him at one time or another. David knew trouble. And this psalm, this 20th psalm that he wrote, is about the day of trouble. And it's also about David's assurance of God's presence and His saving work through that trouble. This psalm was likely, scholars say, this psalm was likely a blessing or a prayer as David was about to lead the Israelite army into battle. Israel was preparing for war, preparing to go into battle. David offers this as a prayer or blessing. The day of trouble that is spoken of by David here is very likely the coming day of battle. This psalm gives us at least three things that we can count on when we have our own day of battle, our day of trouble. First thing that we can count on is God's blessings in the trouble or the battle. Let me read to you again verses 1 through 5. May the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. May the name of the God of Israel defend you. May He send you help from the sanctuary and strengthen you out of Zion. May He remember all your offerings and accept your burnt sacrifice. May He grant you according to your heart's desire and fulfill all your purpose. We will rejoice in your salvation, and in the name of our God we will set up our banners. May the Lord fulfill all your petitions. God assures David. David is sure of God's blessings, even though trouble is at hand. First of all, there are three things in this passage, in that one passage there, three assurances of that blessing I want to look at. First of all, he says, you can look for help from the sanctuary. He will send help from the sanctuary. Okay, what did that mean for David and for the Israelite army? Where does that mean help is coming from? Most likely they would have taken that to mean that coming from the temple, there will be help or aid for their army. Now, for us, when we think about that, and it would also mean to them, what was the temple? We think about that. Does that mean like help will come from the church? Would that be like for us? Well, it's a little difference, I think, a little different there. Because you see, in David's time, in ancient Israel, the sanctuary was the place where God resided. It was the place that God occupied in the Holy of Holies there. That was the primary purpose for the construction of the temple and the Holy of Holies was a place for God to reside, a place for God to occupy. Now, we know that God occupies this space as well, but it's not like this is an exclusive place for God because God is everywhere. He's made available to us all. But what we can take out of this is that we can count on God blessing us from His presence. That we don't have to worry about, are we going to be in it by ourselves? Do we have to deal with this on our own? Has God given us this thing, come to us, and it's just kind of, you're out there on your own. If you make it, good. If you don't, oh well. That's not the case. David is sure of, and we should be sure of, help from the sanctuary. Help from God's presence. He is with us. He gave us the Holy Spirit to be present with us always. And He will never leave us or forsake us. We can count on help from the sanctuary. Second thing in that verse, or in those verses, that enable us to count on God's blessings in a time of trouble, is where it comes from the phrase where He talks about, in the verse He talks about, may He remember all your offerings and accept your burnt sacrifice. Now for them in that day and time, for the soldiers, for the families, for those surrounded, involved with the army, the support staff and all, what that would have meant to them is that, you know, is just that David is confirming and confessing that the soldiers, in their normal routine in getting ready for battle, would have made offerings and sacrifices. And they would kind of got their heart right with the Lord. They would have made confessions for sins and sacrifices and offerings according to the Levitical laws that were necessary. And for us today, we need to remember, we can be sure and we can count on God's blessings in trouble because of the relationship. The relationship with Jesus Christ. The only thing that is available to us anywhere in the universe that can absolutely enable us to survive the test, the troubles, the battles that we will face. If you put your trust in the sacrifice that was offered on your behalf by Jesus Christ, you don't have to worry. You can be assured God will bless you in the times of trouble. Third phrase that comes in there comes in where He says, and we will rejoice in your salvation. We can take assurance, we can trust because praise and thanks for deliverance from the rigors of the battle and the victory over the enemy that would have been offered by everyone there, by all of Israel, it means for us that we are not alone. And I said that God was with us, but we're not alone because there are people praying for us, caring for us, going to God on our behalf. God did never intend us to have to do things alone. He gave us not only Himself, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, but He gave us all our brothers and sisters in Christ to lift up support and pray and love each other so that we wouldn't have to do it alone. We can rejoice in our salvation. There is rejoicing in our salvation. And the blessing is that we don't have to do it by ourselves. Okay, so there's the first thing we can count on. We can count on God's blessing in time of trouble, in time of battle. Then we can also count on the assurance of God's deliverance. Verse 6. Now I know that the Lord saves His anointed. He will answer him from His holy heaven with the saving strength of His right hand. We can count on the assurance of God's deliverance. And when we read that verse there, it talks about the anointed. In this case, the anointed was David. We talked in Sunday school this morning about the anointed, the Messiah, being, of course, Christ. But David was the anointed here. He will, he does not, he has assurance of God's deliverance. Are we not also the anointed? Can we not take that we have been anointed? I don't know if anybody's poured oil on your head or anything like that, but the Holy Spirit has come upon you. You have been anointed with the Spirit of God through His Son, Jesus Christ. Are we not the chosen? Has God not laid His hand upon us as the church and called us just as He did ancient Israel? Did He and Abraham in the beginning call them out and set them apart separate? Has He not chosen us? We are the anointed, and we are the chosen. He says in that passage there that He will answer our prayers with the strength of His right hand. We don't have to worry about can He do it, because we have experience telling us that He has done it. That use of the word of His strong right hand, the strength of His right hand, it's very reminiscent and points back to Israel when they were being brought out by Moses out of the land of Egypt. It was with God's strong right hand, the strength of His right hand, that He brought all these things to pass and freed His people from bondage and slavery. Experience in the Scripture tells us that we don't have to worry, that God's assurance through examples that have happened in the past, through the things that we have experienced in our own life, that we know we don't have to worry, we can count on God's deliverance. God has never, never let His people down. You can be sure of His deliverance on the day of trouble. Third, we can count on the name of God. Verses 7 through 9. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. They have bowed down and fallen, but we have risen and stand straight. Save, Lord, may the King answer us when we call. We can count on the name of God. Not military might, weapons of war, not wealth, power, alliances, not even our own cunning and smarts. But we can depend upon the name of God to stand before us and to deliver us, to comfort us in the day of trouble. What does the New Testament tell you about the name? About the name of Jesus? It says at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess. Philippians chapter 2. It says in Acts chapter 4, I think it is, no other name under heaven by which you can be saved except Jesus. The name of Jesus we can count on. The name of God we can count on. God's name will not fail. There's something important about knowing the name of God. You know, in the name of God gives us an insight, a relationship. Because you don't call somebody by their name unless you know who they are. When we know God and can call Him by name, we're saying to Him that we trust Him and that we love Him and that we're counting on Him. We have direct access to God. Don't have to worry about someone else going to God on our behalf. Somebody else offering sacrifices for us. We have a God whom we know and we're on first name basis with. A personal God. We can count on the name of God. We can count on the name of God. We can count on the assurance of God's deliverance. And we can count on the blessings that God will give us in our time of trouble. Today, we come to this place once again, and it may be a day of trouble for you. It may be that you've just seen a day of trouble and it's in the past. But you can know this, that wherever you are in your walk, wherever you are in your life, that days of trouble probably will come again. Today, we come to this table. We remember our Savior. And we remember what He did on His day of trouble for us. He gave Himself, His body and His blood, that we might be forgiven.